Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather. We thank you for this short hour that we have together. And we thank you for your precious word, your living word, and all true that is truth. So guide us into it this morning, and may we then pray as you would lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing through Psalm 119, and we have some extremes in today's two stanzas of eight verses each. In the first eight verses, we go to what Spurgeon calls the low point of the psalm. It's the midnight of the psalm. Things are really, really dark for the psalmist. And then it turns to light in the next one, really, because of God's enduring word and the fact that his word is settled in heaven. So I thought we would sing an old hymn, because in memory of his enduring word forever, and I picked one here. It was written in 1719, so it's only 400 years old. It may not last, but we'll sing it anyway. But by Isaac Watt, anytime you get an Isaac Watt song, pay attention to the words. Charles Wesley and some of these fellows, they must have spent, I don't know how much time they spent in writing these, but they are so absolutely scriptural. It's just awesome. So, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. So, let's sing along with this, if we may. So as you look at your calendar and your busyness, how does that compare to this hymn? A thousand ages in his sight are like an evening gone. Eternal God, our hope for years to come. Verse 2, just think of this. Under the shadow of your throne, your saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is your arm alone, and our defense is sure. As you look back over the 2,000 years of the church age, or you look back over all through man's history, think about the difficulties people were going through, and yet we see sufficient is your arm alone, and his defense is sure. Amen? So what are you worried about? Well, you don't know about inflation. You don't know about the government. You don't know about taxes. You don't know about my health. You know, blah, 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 blah. Well, look to him. Don't look to all the worldly stuff, because that will either drive you crazy or into despair. And we see that here in the first few verses here of this section entitled Kaf, verse 81 in Psalm 119, we read, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes." How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Well, in these first verses, we see a number of things. He's crying out, my soul's fainting, my eyes are failing, I become hard and tough and cracky like an old wineskin in smoke. He says, they're persecuting me wrongfully. They almost made an end of me on earth. I almost lost my life by the persecution. These are tough things, aren't they? Think you got problems? And then he closes with a real revival here, a quickening in verse 88. Revive me according to your loving kindness. The best thing against all of these problems is life in the Word, life in the Spirit. And then everything is taken care of. Look back on your life. Isn't that true? How many times have you died? Well, maybe some of you have died and came back to life. I doubt it. Not very many. But he has protected us, has he not? Even though at times we think we're in a hopeless, helpless situation. So verse 81, my soul faints for your salvation, but, the contrast, I hope in your word. Soul fainting is really a serious thing when you kind of think of what that means. Not just his body fainting. The body's going to live forever. But your soul fainting, that's more serious, isn't it? He's in great spiritual difficulty here. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. He finds hope in the word. And I know that we find hope in the word when we're in the word, because there is hope. He is our hope. Verse 82, my eyes fail from searching your word. Has that ever happened to you? Does it happen to you every day? Does it happen once in a week or a month? Has it ever happened that you've studied so long in his word that your eyes failed you? I guess it depends on what your age is. I don't know how old the psalmist was. He probably wasn't too old, but if it's David, he died at 70, so you know. And then 83, I become like a wineskin in smoke. They would be very familiar with the inflexibility and the hardness of a wineskin in smoke. You would hang these skins up. Where else would you keep them? And inside of their tents, it was always smoky, particularly when they had fire and things to keep warm. And so the wineskins would get really hard and inflexible. And so we read also in the scripture, don't put new wine in old wineskins because it'll break. So he's become like this. And I'm thinking about, is he speaking about me? Yes, probably so. But here he's become hard and inflexible like wineskin in smoke. Yet, even in that, he does not forget the statutes of the Lord. Beautiful. And then how long am I going to live? He says in 84, how many are the days of your servant? And I think he's under persecution here dramatically in this question, because he says, when will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? You know, I don't think anybody in this nation, generally speaking, has ever really suffered much persecution compared to what's gone on in the past and what's going on even now in some areas. We've been so blessed to be in this nation. Just think about, we didn't do anything to deserve to be born here, but we were born here. What a great thing, blessing that is. Look at Cuba right now. Look anywhere right now. The whole world's a mess. All these nations are collapsing. It's just a mess. When you take the leadership away from the world, it's just total chaos comes into being, right? If you just look at the Middle East, what's happened in the last 6 months, it's just unbelievable. Every one of these nations in the Middle East is on the verge of bankruptcy, collapse, chaos, rebellion. A few months ago, it was peaceful. Peace treaties were being made. But it goes south so quickly, doesn't it? And so here he's saying, how long am I going to live? When will you execute judgment those who persecute me? And I think sometimes we ask that, Lord, when are you going to take care of these wicked ones? He will take care of them. Don't worry. And then the proud, we always kind of get proud people in here, don't we? Because proud people don't like us. The world doesn't like us. Get out of our way. But here the proud have dug pits for me, laid snares. In the old days, that's the way they would trap animals. They would dig pits and cover them over, and when the animal would go across that, and it'd fall into it. And so that's the picture here. They've dug pits for me, and that's not according to your law. They're not, it's the wrong thing to do. They're trapping. They're being trapped. And then he says, all your commandments are faithful. What a great statement. All your commandments are faithful. Isn't that great to have a God whose all commandments are faithful? They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. Again, asking for delivery from the persecution. And then they almost killed him here. They almost made an end of me on earth. But I did not forsake your precepts. So here he said he was just in real trouble, thinking his days were over, but he exercised the judgment of the statutes. And then the last verse we just read, they almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. And then the answer to that is life. This revive means quicken or give life. Chaim, which means life in Hebrew. So give me life. We often use it as restoring life, but it isn't necessarily just restoration. It is also has a meaning of to give life. I usually think of revival, where you're reviving something that's already there. But that's true. That's the main use we use of it. We're going to have a revival, right? Although I even question that. A lot of times we're praying for revival and there's nothing to revive. We ought to be praying for a revival. But at any rate, revive me according to what? Your chesed, your loving kindness. Your loving kindness, that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. So having life because of his loving kindness, I can keep it. And then he goes to a beautiful statement here. There's a lot of permanency in this next stanza, beginning with verse 89, forever, forever. Just think of that. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now that means to stand firm. So, forever, Lord, your word stands firm in heaven. Forever. Isn't that awesome? Your faithfulness endures to all generations. It endures has been added by the translators. It's probably a good help. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. Or your faithfulness to all generations. You establish the earth and it stands firm. It abides. Basically, the same name as we have up above, is settled. Abides, is settled, stands firm, is firm. You establish the earth and it stands firm. They continue this day according to your ordinances. Day and night, summer and winter. The sun came up again this morning. For all are your servants. They're all directed by the Lord. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. Again, the answer to affliction, to difficulties, persecution, dilemmas, is the Word of God. Verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. What a statement that is. Verse 94, I am yours, save me. I love that. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. Verse 95, the wicked wait for me to destroy me. This is not gone out of style, by the way. The evil one is alive and well. Well, he's not much of a lie because he's been defeated on the cross, but he's still usurping power right now and still in charge of this world. And until he is removed, there will be that enemy working through people, wicked, waiting to destroy those who are the Lord's. But I will consider your testimonies. I will give attention to your testimonies. Are you giving attention to the testimonies in the face of difficulties from the other side? And then finally, we see the temporalness of man and the permanency of God. In 96, he says, I have seen the consummation of all perfection. The best thing that man can ever do always comes to an end. I've seen the consummation, the ending of all perfection. That's not God's perfection, that's man's perfection. But your commandment is exceedingly broad. That broad means no end to it, infinitely wide and infinitely long. His commandment is forever. Man's commandment or consummation of all perfection, but his commandment is exceedingly broad. Father, once again, as we just spend a few minutes on your word, it speaks to us in every case so clearly in some area of our lives. And we just thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your enduring word forever settled in heaven. Lord, you are an organized, settled God with organized, settled words for your people. May we really grab hold of them and may our lives reflect them, Lord, in this ever-changing world and the slippery slopes that we are always on in these bodies and this life here on earth. And we are surrounded by the wickedness. And I guess that's exactly in accordance with your will, because if there were no wickedness, why would we really need to turn to you? Why would we really need to stand on your word? We would really be standing on ourselves, which would be hopeless. So, Lord, now we have the time to pray, and may we pray. May we give you blessings. May we give you thanksgiving. We bring our requests to you as led by the Spirit, but yet may we praise you and honor you. May you be glorified in our prayer this morning, Lord. Teach us and lead us in this prayer in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Let's close in what we do believe in. The song is This I Believe.
Father everlasting, Thee, creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Christian, our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life. Forever seated high.
Lord, we do say amen, and has already been prayed. Help our unbelief, Lord, and may we stand for you. May people see you in us, Lord. The only good news is the news of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel message. May that shine forth through each of us, Lord, I pray. This day and each day until you take us home, we do believe in the resurrection coming soon for the whole church, and we know it. You're coming soon. Help us to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.